If you have a Bible with you, it'll be helpful to have it open at 3 John, because this is where we'll be sharing all our thoughts this morning. And as I said, the Apostle John, who wrote this letter, has often been called the Apostle of Love. And that's not to say all the other apostles were hateful, but it's because John's major theme in all his writings, from his Gospel to his letters and even the book of Revelation, this theme comes up repeatedly of love and of Christ's command that his people should love one another. And hopefully you remember, if you were here for our sermon a few weeks back on 2 John, that came out very clearly. But in 2 John, John's emphasis is that we must love one another, if we are a believer, by resisting what is false. John is very clear in 2 John that in order to protect one another and ourselves, we need to be careful to resist what is evil, what is false, and what is not true. In 3 John, however, the emphasis is slightly different. John repeats that again, but in 3 John, John's emphasis is more that we must welcome what is true. So in 2 John, we have to resist what is false. In 3 John, the exhortation is that we are to welcome what is true. And before we look at that in more detail, it's important to make clear what we mean when we say resist and welcome. The Bible is very clear that as believers, we should love everyone, all people, regardless of their faith, regardless of their race, regardless of their age. We should show love to all people. Christ said, love your neighbor. And everyone we come in contact with is essentially our neighbor. So when John encourages us to resist and welcome, he's not talking about those we hate and those we love. Resisting does not mean hating, and welcoming does not mean, is simply another word for love. It means something different, because we should treat all people with love. But that does not mean that we treat everyone alike. Just because we should love all people doesn't mean we treat everyone the same. You all know this yourselves. There are degrees and levels to love, aren't there? The way you love your spouse is different to the way you love your other family members. That's also different to the way you love your friends. That's different again to how you love your work colleagues. And it's yet again different to how you love strangers. We should love all these different sorts of people, but clearly we love them in different ways. There are different degrees of trust and love for each. For example, you would not give the key to your house to a complete stranger. You give it to people who you love and you trust. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't love the people we don't share our house key with. It simply means that we have a deeper love and trust for those we do. And that's what John means when he's talking about resisting and welcoming. All sorts of people are welcome in this church building. Just look at yourselves. We allow anyone, essentially, except they're wielding axes or something, we will allow anyone to come into our church building. But not everyone is welcome into church membership, for example. It's why we have a restriction in place when we come to celebrate communion. We don't simply welcome everyone. We welcome those who are believers in Christ and have been baptized since conversion. And we do that not because we're mean, not because we want to be narrow, but because we want to welcome believers, but not welcome those who to the communion service, who are not believers. Christ made clear that is for those who trust in him. So you see, there are levels of trust, levels of welcome. And that is what John means when he says that we must resist those who teach error. We mustn't allow people who teach error into the pulpit. We can't allow people who don't trust in Christ into church membership, for example, because there are boundaries. But we must welcome those who are of the truth, those who are truly trusting in Christ. And in that regard, John introduces us to a man in this letter, a man who's at the church where John is writing to. And this man is called Diotrephes, and you can see him mentioned in verses 9 onwards. And John says, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Now, Diotrephes was more than likely a church leader in this church, whether he was the elder or whether he was just someone who had authority in the church, we do not know. We're told that he loved being seen as number one. Perhaps you've met people like this. People who love to have people listen to them. People who love to be the one who is the center of attention. And that's what Diotrephes was like. He loved to have the preeminence. He loved to be number one and to be seen as such. He enjoyed having people listen to and admire him. But that pride seriously hindered his ability to love. His pride seriously hindered his ability to love. And John just describes two ways in which Diotrephes failed to love as he should. Two ways in which Diotrephes failed. And in the rest of our time this morning, I'd just like to look at those two ways Diotrephes failed beside his underlying pride. And the first way is that he did not welcome true believers. Diotrephes failed to welcome true believers. You can see this in verses 5 to 8. John writes, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Then look what John writes of Diotrephes in verse 10. He says in verse 10, "Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." John says that Diotrephes is refusing to welcome true believers. And he uses some pretty strong words in this description. He says that we should welcome true believers because this is how we walk worthy of the gospel. This is how we walk worthy of the gospel, by receiving true believers. In other words, if we shut out people who Christ has not shut out, then we are misrepresenting the gospel. We are, in essence, preaching a false gospel, because we're saying you are not welcome to these people when Christ says you are welcome. So by our actions, if not by our words, we are saying something which is untrue, which is every bit as much false teaching as saying it with our lips. Now, you might remember that Paul himself rebuked Peter for this error in the book of Galatians. And Peter, initially, at Christ's command, had eaten with Gentiles, with non-Jews, which was something the Jews did not do. But Christ told him, you can. He gave Peter permission to eat with the Gentiles, and many Gentiles were saved as they heard the gospel from Peter's lips. But afterwards, when Peter went back to his Jewish brothers and sisters, they rebuked him. They said, what are you doing? How could you eat with Gentiles? And Peter grew weak, and he listened to what they said, and he started to withdraw from Gentile believers and refused to eat with them. And Paul comes to Peter and he says, you're walking in a way contrary to the gospel. You're walking out of step with the gospel. How can you withdraw from people who Christ has welcomed? Look, they've received the Holy Spirit just like we have. They've been forgiven just like we have. They are children of God just like we are. How can you separate from them? And Paul rebukes the Apostle Peter himself. The way we treat other believers, whether they're part of our congregation or whether they're strangers, you notice he says that in verse 5. He says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So it's not just talking about our own little church bubble. It's talking about the wider church as well. We misrepresent the gospel if we do not welcome those who are true believers. Now, as we learn in 2 John, some believers recklessly and foolishly welcome everyone. They're like a shepherd who welcomes sheep, but also wolves into the sheepfold. That's a foolish shepherd. That's a reckless shepherd. A shepherd should welcome the sheep, but shut out the wolves. Should care for the sheep, but restrict the goats. But other believers make the opposite error. And they may not be reckless and foolish in allowing those who are not sheep, but they make the opposite error of arrogantly and judgmentally excluding anyone who merely is not like them. Like a shepherd who welcomes some sheep, but leaves others to the wolves. That's what John is warning against in this letter. We must welcome true believers. It reminds me of a joke I heard, which expresses it in an exaggerated way, but in a telling way. And this man said, once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump, and I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What denomination? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region council of 1912. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region council of 1912. I said, die, heretic, and pushed him over. Now, that's an exaggerated way of expressing the problem, but hopefully you can see the point. That is what some believers can be like, though not to that extent, I'm sure. But it can be very easy to narrow ourselves down into little cliques, little clubs, and decide that anyone who is not in that group is not a true believer, is not a true Christian. We are the faithful ones. We are the ones who have got it right, and anyone who is outside has got it wrong. The problem is that if we are not right, if we are not truly the faithful ones, so there are other faithful ones outside of our group, then by doing that, we are seriously misrepresenting the gospel. We are teaching a different gospel to what Christ taught. Because Christ says, no, anyone who believes in me, anyone who has repented and trusts in me and accepts, as we'll come to, the authority of the apostles, they are a believer and they should be welcomed as such. But this creates a difficult question. How do we know who we should resist and who we should welcome. Because you might be feeling like this is like a very narrow ledge with two cliffs on either side. Because on one side, we could be too welcoming. And we could welcome wolves into the church and people who spread lies and falsehood and things which are not true. And if we welcome them, that could be immensely harmful. But on the other hand, if we're too strict, if we're too restrictive, then we're in danger of misrepresenting the gospel by shutting out people who Christ has welcomed. As I say, it's like walking on this narrow little precipice with dangers on either side. How do we walk that path? How do we determine who we welcome and who we resist? Well, fortunately, we're not left to figure it out by ourselves. And the answer is tied to the second failing of Diotrephes, the second way Diotrephes failed. And you can see that in verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10, John continues. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And he not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of church. Did you catch what John said in verse 9? Verse 9, he says that the Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence and he receives us not. The second failing of Diotrephes was that he refused to welcome the apostles. He refused to welcome the apostles. We've already learned how he refused to welcome true believers, but now it's even worse. He refuses to welcome those who were apostles, those who were appointed by Christ himself to be his messengers. That's who John means when he says us in that verse. John is the apostle John, chosen by Christ. There were a number of others who ultimately were the authors of the New Testament. And we're told that Diotrephes did not welcome them. Now, obviously, Diotrephes lived at a time when many of them were still alive. John is here. He's writing to this church. He could see John face to face. Many of them were still living and breathing and preaching. But now they're dead. All of the apostles have passed away. It was many centuries, millennia ago. But we still have their words. We still have the words of the apostles in the New Testament. So although they are dead, their words live on. So we also need to avoid the error of Diotrephes. He didn't welcome them in person or their words. And we need to beware lest we do not welcome the words of the apostles. Because this is how we know what is true and what is false. Who is right and who is wrong, by taking heed to the words of the apostles. Christ himself said in John chapter 18, verse 37, every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Christ says, if someone is a true believer, they will listen to what I have to say. But did you notice that was written, although Christ said it, it was written by John the Apostle. So even Christ's very words come to us through the apostles. Christ never wrote anything that we can still read today. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Christ didn't write any of the books of the New Testament. Everything we know of Christ comes to us through the apostles. But it's deeper than that even. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Christ said, whoever receives you, talking to his apostles, receives me. And anyone who listens to you, listens to me. And anyone who refuses to listen to you, refuses to listen to me. Christ put his seal of approval on the apostles. He said, "These are my mouthpiece. Reject them at your peril." And this is why what Diotrephes is doing is so serious, because he's refusing to receive Christ's ambassadors, the ones who teach us what is true. And that includes two things. It includes doctrine, what we should believe about who Christ is and why he came and what he did. But it also includes commands, how we should live. And the New Testament is very clear. If we refuse to listen to what the apostles say, then eventually, if we continue to resist, then we demonstrate that we are not a true believer. We are not a true Christian. Let me just give one example, and there are many of this in the New Testament. But here's just one example from 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 10 to 15. Paul writes, who was also an apostle. He says, "Even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this apostle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." In other parts of Scripture, it says if they continue to refuse to listen, if they continue to refuse to hear rebuke, then they are to be treated as an unbeliever. Again, not hated, not rejected and harmed, but simply not welcomed as a believer. That is the teaching of the New Testament. So what this means is we need to be clinging to these words. We should be in these words daily so that we can know what is true and what is false. But the bizarre thing in the church is that so many believers critique other believers for things which aren't even addressed by the apostles. So many of the arguments in church, not all of them, but many of them, are over things which the apostles apparently didn't seem to think were particularly important. We need to come back to what the apostles taught. And what they emphasize as important, we should emphasize as important. What they loved, we should love. And what they hated, we should also hate. And if we do that, then it will drastically decrease the amount of arguments in churches. It will drastically reduce the number of Christians who are offended by their brothers and their sisters simply because they do things in a way that is different to them. We have the freedom to do things in different ways. Our church service here is different to the way other churches do their church services. And their church says a difference to the way other church services do that. But we should be willing and able to accept that there are differences within the church which do not contradict what the apostles said. And then we can welcome. We can welcome true believers. We can be unlike Diotrephes, but like John and like Demetrius, who is mentioned at the end of this passage. And we can show the same love to others that Christ has shown them. So those are the two failings of Diotrephes which we need to learn from this morning. Firstly, he failed to welcome true believers. We must beware lest we exclude those whom God has welcomed. But secondly, Diotrephes failed to receive the apostles. And we should be keen, we should be eager, we should be constantly meditating on what the apostles taught so that we might not make the same mistake, that we will resist those who should be resisted, but welcome those who should be welcomed. But I'll just close with one final thought. You notice those final two verses of 3 John. John says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. As we talk about all these things about how we love, about why we should love and who we should love, we shouldn't forget the obvious teaching here. That if we want to love one another, if we want to welcome one another, we need to see one another. We're just coming out of this time of pandemic, and I shared it last time, and obviously this time of pandemic's been strange. It's been unusual, and we've made do the best we can. But now that we are coming out of that time, now that we have the freedom that we didn't have before to see one another, that should be our priority. And those watching online, I'm sure there's many good reasons why you are watching online this morning. But that's not ideal. That's not the best. The best way we can love one another is by seeing each other face to face. You can receive benefit on a computer screen. You can hear God's word. But it's very difficult to give it to other people. It's very difficult to welcome someone when you're behind a computer screen. So let's remember that as we seek to put these words into practice, and let's seek to obey John's command to greet one another, to not restrict those who should be welcomed, even as we do not welcome those who should be restricted. And with those thoughts, I've chosen as our last hymn, a hymn which expresses how beautiful it is when believers can love one another. So we'll stand to sing 354, how beautiful the sight of brethren who agree in friendship to unite and bonds of charity. 'Tis like the precious ointment, I should say precious, not previous, precious ointment shed o'er all his robes from Aaron's head. So we'll stand to sing 354.